We're back on The Fan. Morning show, Sports on 590. The Fan. The final hour, we're going to be joined by Alvin Williams shortly. And then we'll wake and rake. You know it and love it. We're close. I'm on a hot streak. Justin loves his World Cup bets. We're going to get another one today, apparently. End the streak.
We will, until the World Cup is over, we're going to continue to give you World Cup bets. I don't know if they're going well. I don't know if it'll be successful.
They're not going well. We know that.
But, again, I'm just not, how entertaining will the wake and rake be if it's like, okay, Tavares shots, lock it in every week, every game?
I like winning. I don't care if it's boring. The listeners have spoken in the text line and said that you're
I know,
also,
they're very frustrated.
They're also, you're a little bit banned from betting World Cup, but you just go against them and you just do what you like.
I'm going to power through a little bit here. It hasn't been that many losses in a row. I think just two. I had a great weekend with the World Cup.
Yeah, but it nobody was around. Nobody knows. Tweet them out. Get some redemption. We don't know. You could be lying. Show me the bet slips.
I'm just saying, I think I got a good one today. And I could go conservative. I could go with the minus 150 today if you want me to.
I'm not making the decision for you. I have to pick the anchor all week long, and I did last night. And so far, I'm going to continue to do that for four more anchor picks.
I feel
picks.
Like I was a part of it.
Okay, great. Well, just make your bet win. It's not that hard.
Just stop losing the wake and rake for everyone. We got a good one today.
All right. You got to see the Raptors back in action yesterday. Full-ish. Almost everybody back. Pascal Siakam came back like he hadn't missed a beat with his electric intro video. Go take a look on his social media. Really showed how important of a player he is to this team. I know that's a pretty easy statement, but you just saw the Raptors weather the storm for 2 weeks without Pascal, without many of their starting players. I think it was eight consecutive games where they only had two of their starting five, and they're back. And we have Alvin Williams joining us now on the show. Our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Good morning, Alvin. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
We're feeling pretty high and happy this morning because the...
Pretty high?
Well, like high vibes.
High and happy.
Okay, Justin. It's the Wake and Rake is next. The Wake and Bake. Okay. Alvin Williams, you got to see the Toronto Raptors finally have resembles a roster that we can get excited about. I mean, I feel like the last couple of weeks it was tough to evaluate this team because we saw the skeleton of what's there. With Pascal Siakam's absence finally turned around, what have we learned about this team in the last couple of weeks?
I mean, you know, like you said, it's hard to evaluate it because, you know, so many people are out, so many different lineups. And, you know, you just saw, once again, I think the makeup of individuals and collectively as well, because, you know, different people stepped up. You had big games from Banton. You had big games from Chris Boucher. A stretch of big games that really did things and brought some positive thoughts when you talk about the bench and then other players. And if they can continue that level of play when, you know, the full roster comes back, then that's a positive. So I think you just learn a team that they play a system. They play a certain style of basketball. They play with a certain energy no matter who's in the lineup. And I think that's just a great thing. I mean, all across the board. So when you have your full lineup, they still play like that. And then you have your stars that can come back and take over games and late game situations. It's just a good thing. It's a good experience.
You mentioned emergences. I think we've been, I'd say, admittedly a little surprised with what Thad Young has brought to the lineup over the last couple of weeks. Not only a veteran presence, but being able to really produce and shut down on the court. What have you liked most about him over the last couple of weeks, like slowly maybe being a bit of an MVP and unsung hero that we should properly give his flowers to?
No, for sure. I mean, you know, when you bring someone in like Thaddeus, right, like a veteran guy, I think 16 years, and his game has evolved, of course, over their time, but he brings a calmness. He brings the ability to be kind of like that point forward guy where you can run an offense through him, elbow action, where he can deliver passes. He's also doing things on the defensive end, offensive rebounding, finishing at the basket. So he's very reliable. No matter how much time he played prior or, you know, he's starting. So he's a reliable person that you can play off of the bench. And I'm glad that he, you know, he got his opportunity to show once again that he's not finished, right? He has a lot of basketball in him. And once again, he just brings that element. When you need him, he's there. So if you're a coach and you're just looking for people that, you know, you can rely on, he's that guy. And you can't have too many of those guys, right? And like you said, very productive. But I think most importantly, he shows that what a true professional looks like. You know, no matter what the situation is, he's going to go out there and play. And that just feeds the other players. They definitely feed off of that. And you can tell, like, I think of Chris Boucher, although he did the same thing last year, you know, up and down, but still he found his niche. And this year, the same thing. Like, these guys are becoming true professionals, and they're ready to perform at any time.
The Thad thing is almost double the impact, too, because it seems like he's helping shepherd along Wancho to have a big role. Like, you can start both those players because you want to load manage a little bit and make sure that, you know, you're not putting a bunch of players who haven't been on the floor for a while on the floor out there at once. It just seems like he's been able to help not only the team, but individuals really find their feet at the NBA level, too.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, that's what a vet does, right? A vet, not only through conversation. You know, you have guys out there that they played so many years, but they just can't quite play anymore to that level. But, you know, when you have a dad that can play at that level and then have conversations, and then once again, it shows players what it's like to be successful in the NBA, what it's like to play 16 years. What do you have to do? What do you have? How do you have to go about, you know, your preparation? How do you go about being mentally prepared? So all of these things, you know, it things that don't show up all the time or in a stat sheet or things that we're not privy to because the impact, as you mentioned, of other players in the locker room or practice, those things are big. So once again, you can't have too many Thad Youngs, right? It's a good, I think the Raptors have a very good mixture of veteran guys and younger guys as well. So he does, and he allows everyone else to get back to when you have your roster, you allow everyone to get back to their roles and their strengths, and they can just maximize their strength and star in their roles instead of trying to do other things when people are out.
Were you surprised how unaffected Pascal Siakam seemed by his absence yesterday?
First half, man, it was crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. But once again, like this whole year for him, just the way he exploded on the scene and his consistent style of basketball and just, you know, just being determined, you know, the way he's playing. And he's just, once again, he's more than just a scorer. He's facilitating. He's putting pressure on the defense, and he's allowing his teammates to get open and easier looks. Gary Trent Jr., these guys now can get easier looks. They don't have to force much because you have that type of player that can draw defenses and draw double teams and, you know, get the attention of the other team. It leaves everyone else with an easier role, and they're back to their responsibility. So that showed that he's in shape. That shows that he's, once again, a true professional. It shows when he was hurt, he was still looking at the game. He was still engaged for him to get back and being out that long and still being able to take over a game and impact the game, especially early on. It was really impressive.
We're speaking with Alvin Williams, our Sportsnet analyst and former NBA guard. Alvin, what'd you make of Nick Nurse switching up the starting five, putting Barnes and Trent coming off the bench there? I know that there's a lot of minutes restrictions, but I think it looked like it benefited having, like, rolling out lines and lines of guys that, you know, are consistently a threat on the court. Is that something we'd see moving forward, or just a bit of a tiptoe into everyone back at full strength?
It could be. You know, Nick, he'll surprise you. I don't think we're surprised anymore, but he'll change lineups. He'll put different people in different positions and things like that. So I'm not sure what the idea was behind, you know, the lineup change. But, you know, when you win games, especially a game like that against the Cleveland Cavaliers, like winning helps everything. So, you know, if they were to lose, and then you may question it a little more, but I don't know. But I think, once again, when you have a lineup and you have a roster constructed of these type of players, you can do a lot of plug and plays. You can put people in different situations. And once again, the dads and, you know, and all these people like that, they show, like, you can't sulk. You can't worry about anything because it's for the team. And I think once you have that identity and you have that understanding as an individual, it helps. And we've seen it before. I think back to the championship year, 2019, and Marc Gasol gets traded here and Serge Ibaka goes to the bench. And Serge Ibaka was playing great basketball. And I think that helped the team so much. When Serge came off the bench, then you can play your lineups with different, you know, two big traditional bigs, and then you can switch it up. But for Serge and guys like that to just go on the bench and come back and do whatever, change their roles, I think it just means a lot. And it says a lot to the coaching staff and the makeup of the team overall.
And Nick Nurse isn't shy away from using the media and his platform to sometimes call out his players when deserving. He did that with Gary Trent, and Gary Trent's response has been maybe left wanting a bit. What do you make of Nick Nurse's comments of Gary Trent and what he's done since, I guess it was probably about a week ago now?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, at the end of the day, you do have conversations, private conversations. And I'm sure that probably wasn't the first time that, you know, sometimes you're a player and the first time you hear something or you criticize or you get called out and it's due to media, sometimes that could strike you a different way. But, you know, as long as you keep it real, mm-hmm. and you're transparent and you communicate and you're fair, I think, you know, they're all grown men, they're professionals, and you have a job to do. If you're not holding that in your bargain, then you deserve to get called out. And Gary Trent, trust me, I know his father. That ain't the first time he got called out. Mm-hmm. His father calls him out. So he has a cloth. He's made from a cloth where he takes that type of information and he uses it as fuel. And I saw him the next game, you know, he was called out about deflections and not being active. In the next game, they had 5 deflections. The following game, I think he had 2 or 3 steals. So sometimes as a player, you need that fire, you know, to lift. Backlit up under you, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing. And Nick, and as a leader, you just have to know when to press those buttons. And I think, I mean, he knows when to do it. So I think it's a good thing.
Has that ever happened to you in your career?
Oh, never. I never got
you were perfect.
Out. No, I was perfect. Always played well. And, I was the man. So, but, yeah, I mean, you would get called out big time. I remember Butch Carter, like he would really not necessarily call me out publicly, but he would do things, bench me and stuff. But guess what? It was deserved. I wasn't playing as well in those times. So it was one of those things. But, you know, growing up and playing in these sports, you're used to, you know, people calling you out, whether it's right or wrong. But that's just something you have to build off of and you have to continue to get better from.
I guess it can vary, but what is the most effective way to sort of punish or to motivate through punishment? Is it the call out? Is it the taking away minutes? Like what in your experience was the most, the strongest factor or the trump card that a coach could pull?
I mean, you know, players always respect the bench. You know, that bench is something else, right? But in pros, it's so different, right? Because, you know, professional sports is the one place that, you know, practice time that really don't earn you many minutes, right? You can practice your butt off during a week and still may not get in the game because there's so many variables, whether it's someone's getting paid a certain amount, someone the year is better and stuff and all. So it's never just the best player and the person who's playing the best is always out there on the court. So it just depends on the individual. It depends on the status of the team, what type of team, the makeup. If you're a veteran team, if you're a winning team, but always the one consistent thing, you know, is always that bench. Because, you know, once you get put on that bench, you know, usually you're not playing as well. But sometimes that bench is not the indicator of you playing poorly or you're playing poorly. So it's kind of difficult in professional sports. But I would say across the board, you know, everyone does respect, you know, that bench. If you get yanked and put on that bench, you know something is a little off.
Mm-hmm. Last night, OG and Co., mostly led by OG, shut down Donovan Mitchell to basically nothing. 8 points when he's averaging around 30s, 32, 34. Clearly part of the reason that they were so successful last night. How does OG continue to be this defensive lockdown guy? Does it even impress you or surprise you anymore? It just seems like an automatic that he's going to be in the conversation, whether it's here or not, for like defensive player of the year, or at least someone that we like to give that praise to.
No, for sure. I mean, it's something you tell kids. It's something to, like, you can be a very good defensive player if you put your mind to it. And that's the thing that, you know, OG realized that's the one aspect of the game that you can always control, is your effort and your defensive, you know, approach. Now, you may run against a player that's very hot and you can't do much, you know, about it, right? I always say great offense beat great defense any day, because it's actually, it's a team thing. Like, individually, you can play your butt off defensively, but your team defense has to be intact. If I'm pressuring the ball, I have to have help. I have to have the rim protected. I have to have paint protection. I have to have all of these things. But OG is just taking an approach where I'm going to play defense like it's the last thing, you know, on earth. And it's his approach. He has the makeup. He has the structure. He has the strength. He has the athleticism. But mentally, you can just see he's dialed in. He's not taking plays off. He's taking a challenge of guarding the great players. He did it the other night against Luka as well. So it's just that. And, you know, when you have that makeup and you have that mind and that approach, you're going to be an effective defensive player. Now, the body and everything else, that's what makes him, you know, being able to guard multiple positions. That's what he can stay in front of the ball. He can recover. He can block shots. He can steal. He's tenacious on the ball right now. Like, the steals that he's getting are like violent steals. He's pretty much taking the ball from people. And that's very hard on the NBA level. So, it's, once again, I just think it's his mental approach. He's even mentioned wanting to be a defensive player of the year. So when you have that, similar to Pascal saying he wants to be a top five player, you have that mental approach, you're going to perform, because that's the underlying factor of a professional athlete, the mental side. Once you have that mental side locked in, then the other things start coming to you easier.
And Pascal can only help him get there, right? Because we talk about freeing up a player offensively. Can OG be freed up a little bit defensively to be even more aggressive, knowing that there's that support and there's other strong defensive players playing behind him?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you're coming up with a scheme as well, you know, you can have a scheme. You know, the Raptors, they like to pressure the ball no matter who it is. You know, I watched them against Ben Simmons. You know, typically an NBA team, they'll back off of Ben Simmons and invite him to shoot. The Raptors, they don't change that. You know, their style is to pressure and make people make decisions. And when you pressure the ball, you have to realize that you're going to have some blow-bys. You're going to have some people that get past your defender. But where's the help? And the Raptors being so long and lanky and athletic, then, you know, they can make up for a couple blow-bys and a couple penetrations. Right? Ideally, you don't want that. Then even someone like a young Koloko, who showed that he can rim protect, that's a big thing, right? That gives me the confidence as a defensive player up top to guard aggressively and to try to pressure the ball, because if I do get blown by, I have somebody behind me. So you're right. Having the lineup back and with their guys are long and lanky and all those guys that allow players like Fred and OG to pressure up and Gary Trent Jr. to really pressure the ball. So it's a very good thing. I'm sure the players are happy about it, but more importantly, I'm sure the coaches are more happy because they can get back to their schemes that they're used to.
So all things considered here, with maybe some unexpected discoveries, Nick Nurse being able to learn things about his bench a little bit more because there have been these injuries, and now Pascal coming back and automatically being at the level he was at, and Fred having the level that he can maintain despite what's going on with him. How set up for success do you think the Raptors are over the next three quarters of the season? Could we talk about top four in the East? Like, what's your expectation if they are able to stay healthy, what this team can do down the stretch of the season?
No, I'm with you. I think the expectations should be high. I think the reality is that this is a dangerous team. It's still a very unique team. I'm not sure if a lot of the teams, when the Raptors are playing at that level, have figured them out, because, once again, they're a very good defensive team that can turn you over and get out in transition because you have so many people that can handle the basketball. It's going to be interesting to see, like, Pascal. Like, he had a good game, good half, right? Well, overall good game, but a surprisingly good first half. But now, can you string it back together? Can you really be – Can you have that person that's playing at that level consistently? He has to still get his body back in it. So, you know, you got to look what comes after this game. How does he feel today? How will he feel the next day, right? So still going to take time. And I just think everybody else getting back in their natural positions. Now you can start seeing what this team is made of. And like, this is the time of the year that is happening. So that's huge. But I think if you do have this team with a complete lineup, it's a very dangerous team And I think at the end of the day, we've seen it with the Raptors. I think the healthiest team at the end of the year will be the best team. And I think this is so tight in the East and overall NBA. Whoever can stay healthy the longest and most, I think they'll have the best chance to win.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing a fully healthy Raptors team for at least a couple weeks in a row here. That would be real, real nice for fans and for us having to talk about it. Alvin, yes. Appreciate you joining us this morning, and hopefully we catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Alvin Williams, sports analyst for us and former NBA player. This Insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. No Toronto sports to place your wake and rake bets on tonight, but I've pinpointed three NHL games that have significant storylines behind them. I'll set those up for you in the wake and rake. And, of course, we've got Justin Cuthbert's World Cup picks on the edge of your seat. Can't wait to find out. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do the wake and rake next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, time for the Wake and Rake. Got a lot in the text line.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be a part of the phenomenon that is our two out of three picks as of late.
And just a reminder, we're doing this a touch earlier.
Yes, it is 8:24 right now.
Earlier. From now on, we're going to do a little earlier, so don't go and come on at 8:30. We need you here at 8:25. I'm not going to leave you in suspense. Let's just get to my maybe win World Cup pick of the day. I'm giving you two choices, conservative route aggressive route. You can go either way. I'm not promising that either win. But it goes to the same handicap. So what I will be playing individually will be England to win to nil, plus 120. Officially, that is the wake and rake pick. But you could also go both teams to not score, minus 165 right
it's
now.
It's kind of the same thing.
It is basically the same thing, but Wales could score. They could win 1-0. It could be 0-0. Like, you got a little bit of protective, a little protection, a little insurance.
It's basically the same
if you
thing
want.
Because, but, like, just like England and Wales are basically the same thing.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Anyway, okay. England is the better team. Wales has had so much struggle scoring goals. They only have one. It came on a penalty. England should win this game. They kind of need to win this game to lock up at least prime positioning. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this is a 1-0 game, a 2-0 game. So England to win to nil, plus 120 is the official wake and rake pick. But if you don't trust me.
No, don't even give them an out.
Both teams do not score, minus 150 is your option.
I love it. So
I also like the USA plus 100 to beat Iran today.
Okay. So Wales and England at 2, and Iran and USA at 2 p.m. Those are your afternoon games. You have Ecuador and Senegal at 10 and Netherlands and Qatar at 10 as well. All right, that's your World Cup bets. We don't have anything else in the text line from World Cup selections.
No one wants to touch it but me.
They sure don't. Oh, actually, there was one here. Take the yellow cards and foul props in Iran and USA. They hate each other.
That's an interesting handicap, but I'll keep that in mind.
That is an interesting one. Okay, so my selection, and I said I had three NHL games that I really liked tonight. Matthew Tkachuk returns to Calgary. What a spicy matchup tonight.
It was spicy the first time they met.
And last night, he was in Edmonton, and he scored, and he taunted the crowd, jumped up on the glass, did the "can you hear me now" thing. He's on fire, and he really wants
one of the best heels in the game.
Yes, and he really wants to make an impact.
They thrive in heel scenarios.
So I looked at props for him, and I thought, well, here's your just $5 of the night. Tkachuk and Huberdeau to both score tonight, plus 600.
Okay.
There's your just $5. The Flames haven't played since Saturday, though, so they're a little well-rested or they're rusty. Last night, Tkachuk, we got a back-to-back. I think it could be an opportunity for a high goal-scoring night, which is why I'm picking over 6.5 in the game tonight. If I think that they have a lot to prove, both these teams are going to be trying to capitalize, it's going to be an over 6.5. That's my wake and rake selection officially. But there's two more games I really like in the NHL tonight. The Vancouver Canucks are good.
On one.
They're
yes,
good.
They're good,
what
apparently.
What happened? The Vancouver Canucks are finally good. So they're playing this evening against the Washington Capitals. Bruce Boudreau's old team. There's a little bit of a revenge angle there. The Cap or the Canucks have won 5 of their last 6 games mm-hmm. against some really good West Coast teams. I just like them to win. It's -120, which is a bit of a coin toss.
Who would have thought the Canucks would be -120 over the Capitals?
But I just think there's going to be an added oomph from those players.
The Capitals are actively bad.
Yep. And they're red hot and it's at home. So I'm liking the Canucks just to win and the revenge game there for their coach. And finally, you have Bruins and Lightning. The Bruins just broke the record for the 12th consecutive home win in a row. They are at home against Lightning, -160 favorites. The Lightning are playing on a back-to-back, which went to overtime last night, so they're tired. I like the Bruins to continue this hot streak, and I think some listeners in the Wake and Rake text line also agree. So
For you, it is the over?
Is the
and
over?
And if it's a repeat of last game, which went crazy, mm-hmm. shootout, I believe it was 6-5. Anyway, you know, if we see something like that, then we're easily going to catch that.
So my addition will be over 6.5 in the Panthers and Flames. So let's go through some submissions. And two of them are on the same wavelength. So it's tonight is my best bet. Bruins on the 60-minute line. Tampa's on the back-to-back and Bruins at home seem like a lock. I agree. Another solid bet is Wiggins to hit 3 3-pointers. He's done it 6 games in a row and 4 in a row on the road. That's Cody and St. Catharines. P.S. Justin, stay away from the World Cup.
Sorry, Cody. I will not.
So he's on board with my Bruins 60-minute line.
Okay.
Let's keep going here. Ronna Markham says, good morning for today's Wake and Rake. Let's keep it rolling. Look no further than the Boston Bruins. 8-2 in their last 10. That means Tampa Bay have to score a lot to win. Not going to happen. Bruins money line. So
a lot of Bruins support.
Also, of course, Juliana's in the car. The Golden State Warriors are playing tonight. Juliana says, take over in Steph Curry points. Steph and Luka will match each other point for point as the two leaders in point per game square off tonight. Steph, over 27.5 points. By the way, I forgot to mention yesterday that I hope you and Justin sprinkled a little on Michigan on Saturday. They showed the boss of the Big Ten.
They sure did.
So we have another Bruins pick.
Okay. Strong support for the Bruins. That's our leader in the clubhouse, no doubt.
It sure is. Okay, so we have a first-time texter. Hey, guys. Giovanni from Brampton. First-time texter, long-time listener. Won on the Homer Parlay yesterday. Got to see how often that cashes. I think we need to stay away from soccer as it's killing our parlays. My Wake and Rake is fading the Pistons. They are so bad. I feel sorry for Coach Casey, so Knicks -5 is my pick.
Never the Knicks, is it? Never.
Bing bong.
Okay, maybe last year it was.
Okay.
Bing bong!
It's a potential. Parlay Poppy took yesterday off to celebrate his 32nd birthday. Would like to say happy birthday to Parlay Poppy. He said he has no games that he likes tonight, so he's passing. He just wanted to come into text line and say hello.
Okay, happy birthday, Parlay Poppy.
All right, so Corey from Port Hope says, good morning, my Wake and Rake tonight is Cole Caulfield, over 3.5 shots, no explanation needed. He simply likes to shoot the puck.
That he does.
B. Hall and Ajax, same kind of wavelength. Morning, guys. My lock of the day is Knicks -5 in Detroit. Tonight, a banged-up Pistons team. The Maple Mamba, R.J. Barrett, will break free from his shooting slump.
Okay, so some support for the Bruins, support for the Knicks. Again, the decision comes down to you.
I have to make this decision. And finally, Matt in Toronto. Well, guys, last night the universe finally said, Matt, here's a little something to show our appreciation for being alive. A $48 parlay win. Called in sick from work. Once lunch rolls around, I'll pamper myself with a 20-piece nugget meal, maybe a milkshake. The world's my oyster today. So I'm willing to share in the winning with a pick that cannot miss. The Kraken will defeat the Kings tonight. This one's not for fairy tales. The evil sea creature wins today, and the Kings are old. They have no fight left in them. It's time to fade them into the history books.
It's been more about the Kraken than it has been the Kings in the Pacific Division this year.
And the Kraken are plus money on the money line, +100.
Hmm.
A little value there.
Maybe a little side play there.
Okay, so I think the decision comes to the Bruins being red hot.
Numerically, yes, it does.
Or fading the Detroit Pistons.
It's all on you.
I will say we haven't put an NBA bet in quite a while.
At a certain point, this Bruins streak has to end. Again, it's up to you.
Let's fade
the ball
the
is
Pistons.
In your court. Okay. Knicks -5. Bing bong, indeed.
Let's bing bong, because it's been a while, and you know what? You're right. I wanted to bring up the story of the Bruins, but you're right. You know, maybe there's a little of a complacency, confidence. They just broke the record. But I might regret this in the morning. But let's put a little basketball
in. And we don't give us that overtime buffer.
That's right.
We're saying money line or three-way money line. I just think, let's go Knicks. I like Knicks.
Hefty. That way we're picking World Cup, NHL, and NBA. We're well-rounded on this show.
We are.
We're a variety hour. Let's do it. England to win. England to will their way to win. England to win to nil. Plus 120.
It's heavy.
Over 6.5 in the Panthers Flames game. And the Knicks on the spread, -5, fade the Detroit Pistons. Altogether, our Wake and Rake, 656.
Sorry in advance, by the way.
Justin, bing bong.
Let's just get through the afternoon. Get through the afternoon. England to win to nil. Wales has no chance of scoring and breaking that back line for the three Lions today. I like my pick.
All right. Well, that was it for the Wake and Rake. We're going to take a quick break and then do our bookends of the show. It's Justin and Ailish on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Everything Raptors before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a throwback. We were talking Christina Aguilera earlier in the show because she was pictured alongside Sidney Crosby post-game, and worlds collide. Nobody knew why the hell those two were hanging out, what the background was. And of course, our loyal listeners know everything, and we got a text in the text line. Marco from Hamilton must be a TMZ employee. Sid and Aguilera are both Pittsburgh-based. And I said, she just lives in Pittsburgh? He responded, she grew up there and cheered for the Penguins as a kid. She actually sang the anthem at the 92 final versus the Blackhawks.
Wow.
Case closed.
92 final. How old is Christina Aguilera?
Young. What how is old, it? How old do you think Christina Aguilera is?
42.
She is going to be turning 42 in 2 weeks.
Wow.
You looked this up.
No.
What day's her birthday? Just think. Go off the top of your head.
You said 2 weeks?
Did you just guess?
December 10th.
Well,
December 11th.
The 18th, but I just went off quick.
It's not 2 weeks.
I know, okay? I panicked. But Christina Aguilera, big Penguins fan.
That's great. There's something about pop stars' careers being launched in and around NHL rinks. Because Ariana Grande, do you know the story of Ariana Grande?
No.
She got hit with a puck at a Florida Panthers game.
No
way. Was in the crowd. And because they felt bad or whatever had happened, they let her ride the Zamboni. And there's like a famous picture of Ariana Grande riding the Zamboni at the Panthers game.
And then her took off?
I don't know if she sang there. I don't know if that became a thing. But she's a Florida Panthers fan, or was.
Would you rather see Ariana Grande live or Christina Aguilera?
Before Josh brought us in with that music, I would have said Ariana Grande, probably.
But how great but was I that? Was just Genie like, in a bottle?
It would be more nostalgic. Genie in a bottle, I mean. It's unbelievable.
I mean, you just watched the Dirty Music video over and over again when you're
That's how I knew how old
a
she was.
Teenager.
I was going to say, no, I didn't look it up. I just...
Greasy teenager.
Whenever I'm a little bored, I throw on Dirty.
Uh-oh. I bet you do. Ew, Justin. All right, that's the case closed on the Christina Aguilera mystery.
I'm glad we figured that out.
Yes, thank you for the text line.
One thing I'm not really pumped about hearing this morning was our conversation earlier with Nick Kiprios. He sort of went back and revisited a take he had before the season where speculating of, you know, maybe Matthews has made up his mind or Matthews isn't necessarily all that keen on signing that contract on July 1. Let's revisit that conversation. Let's revisit the clip from Kipper in our conversation a little earlier.
Well, they've quieted down publicly, but behind the scenes, I don't think they've quieted down at all. I think there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, he could leave. And a lot of people that, you know, that I talk to on a fairly consistent basis. And maybe that's just a credit to Austin that he can keep his cards so close. That we're all still, you know, trying to come up with guesses, albeit maybe an educated guess, but you know, only Austin really knows, maybe his family, maybe his agent. I think he played his cards really well at training camp. Speaking of it once and not bringing it up, I think the media's been on their best behavior. They're not pushing him. They're not going down that path right now. But you know it'll come, and when it comes, it'll come like a tsunami. I think MLSE, I think Kyle Dubas, I think Brendan Shanahan, they're in the same boat as the Leafs, the fan base, is that they hope they're counting on him being happy and wanting to retire a Toronto Maple Leaf or at least maximize the next 8 years. And that's all they can go on. But as far as MLSE being tipped off one way or another, I don't think that's happened.
He said the media's been on their best behavior. Well, now we're bringing it back in.
Well, yeah, but I think he's more or less talking about those who are around the team every day. And that's, well, I will say, this has been my take for a while, kid gloves, that they're not pressed, that it's not that hard to be a Maple Leaf. This is the shining example, because Austin Matthews, we were there, came out on the podium and said, laughing through it a little bit, smiling through it, just like not really kind of entertained by it, but not wanting to entertain it.
You mean the media day he when said, he was asking, this will be the last time I talk about this?
This is the last time. And to everyone's credit, I guess, or maybe
that.
Discredit, because, you know, it's a job to dig around a little bit. It's not the job to just be like, oh, okay, Austin, I'll just do whatever you say. It's not really their job. But to their credit.
I mean, I think it would be, they'd piss off a lot of people if they just kept... You know, they're
I don't
on,
know, kept, but like maybe
or they're on
the
middle
know,
of a four-game winning streak, and they say, "By the way, how does this affect your contract thoughts?"
No, but all I'm saying is, Matthew said this is the last I'm going to talk about it, and it hasn't been brought up again. And if you were in New York or somewhere else, then certain people wouldn't be just taking that as the rule, right?
Really,
Matthews doesn't set the rule.
I mean, you've been a scrum media guy. You honestly, there are other places where. They don't respect the players' wishes as much. Like, we're not going to bring this thing up.
I think it's far more, that's been my stance forever. It's far more intense in other places. I haven't been in those other places, but I can only tell you that the Toronto media respecting Austin Matthews' stance of, hey, I don't want to talk about this, isn't just like, doesn't happen everywhere, but it's happening in here right now.
I thought we had the worst media market, the most intense,
I completely disagree. It's a volume thing, not an actual like behavior thing. But anyway. He's been allowed to go about this season. That's all great. And maybe it is affecting his play. Maybe that's possible. But Kipper, in the conversations he's having, had over the summer, we talked about him before the season, he said this. Now, 2 months later, I guess those conversations still happening behind closed doors enough that he continues to hear this. It is worth talking about. We're not talking.
Big time.
We're not asking Austin Matthews the question. We're not going against the rules he put out there. We can talk about it. I just feel like... It's gone away partly because it hasn't been a discussion, because it hasn't been a discussion at the rink, but because there hasn't been really reason to get all bent out of shape about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just being patient. Wait for July 1. If good things happen this season, it'll all sort itself out. But Kipper continues to hear that even if everything does work out, it may not be pen to paper July 1.
He said, there are a lot of people that believe he can leave, a lot of people I speak to on a regular basis.
That is not only doubling down on what he said in the summer, but doubling down on what he said today, right?
On a regular basis.
Now, he doesn't talk about this on a regular basis on Kipper
bring
and
it
Bourne.
Up, real Kipper and Bourne.
So maybe they can expand on it later, not that I'm trying to produce their show, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about it. Like, it kind of took us
you
by
were shook.
It took us by surprise. You weren't...
You were shook.
You weren't surprised by this?
You had to mute your mic and squeal.
I squealed. I squealed at the sound of Austin Matthews' future
okay,
not
here's
being
a question for you.
Set in stone.
I know that nobody's really asking anymore at the podium or whatever, but the non-podium people, us, would we be talking about it more if he was on pace for another 60, 70 goals scoring season? Or are we less thinking about it now because
well,
he's
we weren't
just
thinking
been
about
chill.
It at all. We only think about it because Kipper brought it up.
Okay, but so would we be thinking about it if he was,
no.
you know, having another Hart candidate year?
I don't know if it matters because he said before the season and he's saying it now. And we weren't talking about it. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're talking about it is because Kipper brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just think maybe it doesn't matter if the conversation doesn't change. Again, we could be building up too much of this. Maybe these conversations are smokescreens. You never know exactly, but Kipper's connected to this team. So it's just something that I don't know if we got to chew on it. I don't know what it means, but it's something that happened today. And it happened over the summer.
Mm-hmm. I asked him, Kipper, how much of the postseason or lack of postseason success will determine where this contract goes. And he seemed less confident that it's actually impacted by that as much as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really thought coming into the season, well, if the Leafs don't make it past the first round, Matthews is gone. He's going to be, you know, waiting kind of to see how all this goes because he wants to play for a winning team. He's, you know, he's just coming off a Hart Trophy year. He's at his, he's, you know, the best player in the league, arguably at times. And if they can't find another year of postseason success, does that mean that he's more inclined to leave the Leafs? And Kipper didn't really agree with it as much as I did. I wonder where you fall on that one.
I can't imagine that team success won't have major, major consequence this year and form decision-making, mm-hmm. right? Like, if it all goes wrong again, if it's worse than it was last year when you lost in seven games, if you're embarrassed in the first round, whatever. Maybe you don't even get by the second round, like, that's not enough. I don't really know, but the first domino is Kyle Dubas, right? And I always thought that the trust that Dubas has built with the core four specifically would mean something. Like, if you're Austin Matthews and you're thinking about July 1 and Kyle Dubas has just been fired after another lost season and someone that you don't trust, that you have no working relationship, is coming in, perhaps no one's in that seat. Perhaps Brendan Shanahan's mm-hmm. looking for a successor all summer long. If the situation is unsettled, why would you rush to sign the contract? Then you still have a full 365 right. days.
They're certainly tied together.
So I definitely think, even if it's not just whatever he thinks, like, it's not, if we don't win this year, I'm gone. Like, I don't think he really thinks that, but I think there's going to be the consequences that would adjust and form his decision-making moving forward, because the slate is clean. There are few contracts beyond Cale Yarncroc and Morgan Riley.
Cale Yarncroc's here till he retires.
Yeah, probably. So there's a lot that needs to be settled, and if the situation is unsettled, why would we expect him to just, unless he didn't want to ever be anywhere else, to raise his hand and be like, give me 8 more years. Maybe it's 2 years. Mm. Maybe he goes the LeBron James route where it's just like, I'm just going to make my decision 1 year at a time. You never really know. We have no idea what this player is going to covet, but we start finding out in earnest what he really wants and prioritizes come July 1, if not sooner, especially these conversations continue.
How would you feel about a bridge contract?
I feel like I would be okay with it, but I also feel like you're kind of...
You're tipping your hand that you don't really want to commit because there's a success factor.
You just want to handle things differently. Like, it's more of a risk for him. It's definitely... You're creating and using your leverage to the maximum degree if you're Austin Matthews and you do that. Sure, it could all fall apart on you. You could lose millions and millions of career earnings if you get hurt and... you're not the same player anymore, but you don't expect that. I think he could go way outside the box. I could see it's like, hey, 1 year, let's prove it. 1 year, give me that. 1 year, 2 years, let's see if we can.
A 1 year, like what?
Let's align myself with Mitch Marner or whatever.
$15 million.
I think he's the wild card. And I don't say that as he's ready to leave. I don't think he's going to leave. I think he knows the biggest stage in hockey is this one. I think he's the type of person that wants that. But again, I'm not privy to the conversations Nick Kypreos is having. But if I think he will act differently. That's my prediction. It will be different. It won't be, okay, 16% of the cap, 8 years.
That's what I was gonna say.
I don't see
that. What Nathan MacKinnon did this summer, I thought originally, okay, this is going to be the framework for Austin Matthews. But then why does it have to be that way? He doesn't need to then one-up Nathan MacKinnon.
For MacKinnon.
Yes, it is safer for MacKinnon. He just came off winning a Stanley Cup.
4 years difference in age, 4 or 5
sure.
years?
Sure, and I'm sure that contract won't age great at the end of it. But at that point, you've been there for, 4 or 5 years more, and you're
set. I think it'll be okay, though.
How old will Billy be when it ends? I don't have it off the top of my head. But certainly,
I think he'll be 17 years in his career because I think he signed a 6-year deal after entry level.
Okay, nonetheless, I think you're right. Matthews can go... He can be creative. He can kind of set the standard for those all-stars that are going to be looking for contracts post-ELCs and first contracts. Like, he can do something different. And if anyone's going to do it, it's him.
Yeah. And I think his ability to keep things close. It's funny, though, because Kipper says he's doing a good job keeping things internally when he's privy to the discussions. Now, that might be the reason only one person really knows about it and no one else is talking about it.
You know what we need to do?
Or this is conjecture. And it's very possible.
What we need to do is give Kipper one of those pens that have a listening device in it. Just like leave it here after Kipper and Bourne one day, he picks it up, he brings it home, and it's got a listening device in it, and we'll know everything.
You want to bug Nick Kiprio?
Maybe. here's an interesting question in the text line.
Sure.
Jagan Scarborough. Question, would you take 1 year Matthews helps the Leafs win the cup and then leaves, or Matthews finishes his career in Toronto but no cups?
Why are we doing this? We're doing this for cups, right?
Yeah.
And the good thing
is... It's an easy answer for me, sorry.
What is it?
Win the cup and then see ya. Never.
And the good thing about it is, and I think we should finish the conversation on a positive note with this, is that you got another superstar playing for this team in Mitch Marner. And the discussion today will be more about Mitch Marner than it is Austin Matthews, because Mitch Marner has stuck his nose out in front of his former line mate.
And they don't need each other right now. And he doesn't need him. Austin Matthews right now.
And if there's any conclusion to draw from today, the last few weeks, whatever, is that Mitch Marner has become sort of the beating heart of this team in a lot of ways and is the prime reason for their success right now, with the only argument maybe being Matt Murray, because he's played so well over the last few days here.
Mitch Marner's probably benefiting a lot from Matthews taking a little bit of a step out of the limelight in terms of his future earnings right now.
Do you think?
Maybe.
It'll always be interesting how those pieces
fit. They're always going to be compared against each other, which sucks.
And it's always
different players.
And it's always little brother a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's always, you know, a million less or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a half million or something around that. So like, how does that dynamic continue to shift and all that? And last year we wouldn't even be talking about it. Like we would have been like Mitch had a great season, but you're talking about Austin Matthews as the he won the Hart Trophy, one of the two very best players on the planet. Three, if you want to lump in Cale Makar.
People were saying he was the best Maple Leaf ever already.
And he very well could be. He very well could be right now, leaves in 2 years, and he still is, based on what he's done so far. However, Mitch Marner's still a superstar player, still a great player, still someone you can build around, still someone that is going to keep into that conversation, sign a contract after Matthews and be like, hey, I belong in that same stratosphere. And this season, previous season, he's really proven that he is in that conversation. But again, there's so many decisions that have to be made. And I guess one more thing to ponder on after our discussion today with Nick Kiprios.
Mitch Marner rolling with a 17-game point streak into tomorrow's game against the San Jose Sharks at home. Maple Leafs haven't been back at home for over a week. Your Raptors on the road against the Pelicans at 8 p.m. as well. Great show today. Thanks to an all Sportsnet crew. Big company day today. Kipper, DeVang, and Alvin joining us on the show today. That was a stellar performance from the five of us and behind the glass.
And we need seven. We need a stellar performance from the three lions. Let's get through the afternoon. Let's get through the afternoon with our wake and rake, which is England to win to nil. Mm-hmm. Panthers and Flames over.
Big game.
And Bing Bong, the New York Knicks -5 over the Detroit Pistons.
I will say there will be a fight tonight in Calgary Panthers game.
Would the line be on that?
Plus. Oh.
I thought we might be minus range there.
How about coin flip money?
Okay, -110. And I'll take the yes.
All right. That was the Fan Morning Show on Tuesday, November 29th. Appreciate you tuning in today. We'll be back on Wednesday, hump day, to set up another doubleheader of Toronto sports. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you then.